In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Well, that's good because I hit it like 3 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't really, but I hit it now. Ricky? Let's go parachuting on Tuesday. Sorry, we were just watching some videos. Anyway, hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. Is. The only podcast that really thinks that 40 is the new 20. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode 40, people. The big 4-0. Yeah,
as long as it's not the new 12. We don't want that to happen.
If it did, no one would know.
Nobody would know.
Welcome to episode 40, people. We did it.
We did.
This was our whole point.
Nobody said
now
we could.
We're done.
And we did.
Somebody bet me $1. I couldn't make 40 weekly episodes. I got that dollar. Now I'm out. I'm sick of this. I'm finished. No, I have been getting very, like, introspective since it's 4. I mean, it's not, you know, I'll get all weird on 50, I'm sure, even more so on 100 and all. But I have a little bit, because 40's, like, big, like, to me.
Yeah, kind of is, yeah.
And it's funny, as some of you may know, I've been kind of big on, like, trying to find a way to grow the podcast and, like, how to get it out there more and get more listeners. Because at this point, I think we have, like, 12 solid listeners.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we should get more of that.
Yeah.
And I still plan to try and do things eventually. I'm really lazy. But I think, I don't know, now that I'm, like, looking back, I don't really care as much about getting more. Like, this is really fun to do. And people are listening who like it.
And they're participating in the blog.
And yeah, we have great, great listeners. Yeah. And, you know, as long as that sort of core is still, you know, with us, I think I'm a lot less, I mean, it's still there. I still think it would be fun to have more listeners. But I don't care as much. Like I'm happy just doing it for the handful of people who are listening because they seem to still enjoy it.
Does that mean we'll stop discussing whether or not we're going to try nudity? Because that always makes me uncomfortable.
That wasn't to get listeners.
Oh.
That's for fun.
Oh.
I always want to try nudity.
Never mind.
Speaking of which. Oh, come on. You weren't scared by that segue? I've been listening to a lot of Nerdist because I'm trying to catch up really fast.
Oh, they have nudity on the Nerdist?
No. Trust me, you will never understand why that was a segue for me.
Okay.
You don't want to know.
Okay, I don't want to
know. It involves Penn Jillette and a little person naked wrestling in cornstarch.
Yeah, I didn't want to know.
Told you. But I was listening, and I listened to the episode recently that had Penn and Teller on it. It actually just had Penn Jillette, but he named it Penn and Teller because Chris thought it would be funny. Because it's like, it's not like he would talk.
Right.
And it was a fascinating episode. And I would recommend it, even if you are not a listener of The Nerdist, to go find that episode. Penn Jillette is just fascinating to me. And I didn't realize he had, like, such a fascinating life before we all knew who he was, even. And he still does. I mean, he's just insane at this point and throws these ridiculous parties and is just a lunatic while, like you, having never drank any alcohol, never done any drugs or anything like that. And that was what came up, is he throws these really crazy parties, too, and no alcohol is served at these parties. And it's really crazy. But he told all sorts of interesting stories, and he actually was very closely tied to some famous stuff involving juggling and yeah, I don't know. There were lots of cool stories, and he's really fun. And so, I enjoyed that episode a lot, and I would recommend you check it out.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe you could put a link or something in the...
Just that episode. I could try and find a way to do that. That might be tricky. Oh. But we do have links we have to put in this episode. I was neglecting to respond to some stuff that we got from Blood Sparrow a little while back.
Oh. What stuff?
Well, it was a couple of links, which I will put in the show notes. One involved the honey badger.
Oh, yeah.
Which we have addressed before, the
yes.
honey badger.
Yeah.
Who doesn't give a fuck. Apparently a particularly big fan of the honey badger, not associated with us. While bored, I think, at his in-laws over Thanksgiving vacation, researched the crap out of honey badgers and found out that there is way more funky, badass stuff about them than ever.
Well, sure.
Was like, it's amazing. And so he just tells you all about it, and it's kind of an impressive video. And the other thing is, she put in a link for a subject that sort of explains what may be the real difference between Kraft macaroni and cheese and Kraft dinner.
That was Kraft dinner.
We don't keep Kraft macaroni and cheese around for the podcast. That would be stupid, people.
Yeah, jeez.
That would be... Who would do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, the main difference appears to be that what the FDA is willing to consider cheese and what the Canadian government is willing to consider cheese may not be the same thing.
Which group is more, maybe less is the word. Which group is more willing to call something cheese
more lenient with its definition of cheese?
Yeah, I suppose
that's... I believe the FDA.
Really?
I believe in the U.S. That doesn't surprise you, does it?
No.
There is this fascinating commercial to me for Kraft Singles that is this super uber patriotic commercial about Kraft American cheese and how no other country could create this cheese. It's American cheese. And it's just like, I believe everything this commercial says, but I feel a deep sense of irony attached to it that the commercial does not appear to have
on purpose anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. So no, I think it's I haven't read the article in a while because this came a couple weeks ago and I've been bad. I forgot about it last time, but so now I will try and remember to put it up.
So excuse me. So Kraft, by the rules of Canada, I suppose, has to make a different product. But why do they call it something different, really? Or is it just, that's just what the Canadians call it, so they kind of go along with it, so they recognize it on the shelves, or?
That I don't know for sure.
You know, the big thing in the United States about Kraft macaroni and cheese dinners was, but they should call it Kraft cheese and macaroni because there's so much cheese or whatever.
Yeah, it was a whole campaign that made me want to break several TVs over
Yeah,
here.
So.
Well, my only real theory on that is macaroni and cheese a fairly American thing?
Okay.
And so maybe they wouldn't necessarily recognize it, and so they went with a different marketing tack of, it's a whole dinner in a box kind of thing. You know, like Hamburger Helper does.
Yeah, Kraft dinner.
But I don't know. Blood Sparrow, you should tell us.
Yeah, if you know, tell us.
I don't know. We've had...
Or make it up. It doesn't really matter,
I guess. We've had a few of our listeners sort of fall off the radar lately. Some of them may be getting married or something. I don't even know. But others, I think the holidays, people may fall a little behind.
I noticed that people were really slow to listen to the first annual Thanksgiving episode.
Yes. A couple That's episodes, though, we had a new record for people who visited the blog in one day. It was pretty crazy. In fact, they've had to adjust the scale on the graph when I look at it now because there's this one giant one. So they had to, like, move everything around.
Well, what caused that?
I have no idea. Part of it seems to be that Mark was listening to the podcast and literally every time he had a thought, he typed it in as a separate comment. Because that episode also had a lot of comments in it.
Yeah.
Really fast. but I don't know for sure. I'm assuming he didn't separately visit the website every time. So I don't know. People, maybe some people spread the word, and so some people were checking it out.
Who knows? That'd be nice.
Yes. But we're straying from it. I would love to grow the podcast, but I also think I like our podcast where it is.
Well, that's good. Maybe around episode 50, you'll want to buy a new car and
yes.
stuff like that.
No. How do you feel about our podcast?
Oh. Well, you know,
reminisce with me. We're 40 now. It's time to look back. We're really getting close to having our mid-podcast crisis.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
I had the new car.
The new car.
Now yeah. I get it. Yeah. Boy.
Well, you know me. I've been always very... I'm happy with answering people's questions or whatever. I don't really have any kind of agenda or expectations. I like coming here to visit with you, and that's, you know, that's a great thing for me. Of course, if anything happened and it caught on bigger, that would be fun, I suppose. But I guess I've always been pretty content. You know, I come here, we talk, I leave. It's a good time.
I'm pretty sure if it caught on bigger and, like, somebody wanted to, like, produce us or whatever, like, other than the producer.
And Kraft Dinner.
It would be a contract requirement. I'd have to replace you.
Oh, well.
I'm assuming.
I've pretty much understood that the whole time, yeah.
I've been grooming potential replacements
for a while. Good.
We had interviews and stuff.
Oh, with those business meetings that I don't get to go to?
Oh, no. These were separate business meetings that you don't get to go to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these were completely different from the original business meetings that you don't get to
go to. Yeah, I figured if anything happens and, like you said, someone wants to sponsor it, they'll take everything up to that point as sort of a proof of concept and then
they'll talk
to you and I'll just be...
Like, it could work. You've got half a good podcast.
Yeah, I'll show up. The door will be locked and...
Yeah. Oh no, it'll be a bigger house somewhere else. Like this, you can come in here and.
Oh, I see. You won't even be here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works too.
Loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly.
Yeah,
as it were.
I'll get the hint probably.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's all right. It's fun while it's gonna last.
Yeah, because we're blowing up. Huge.
Never know.
Magical Talking Hat Industries Limited.
Selling a lot of stuff in the Denver airport
gift shop. If we get big enough, we might get a cease and desist letter from Denver Airport to stop claiming that we have a shop that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Why did you just tell everybody that it doesn't exist?
No, the Denver Airport thinks that it doesn't exist.
Oh. That's right. I hope our listeners don't think that.
It's like a ninja gift shop.
Yeah, we definitely want people to travel all the way to Denver to...
We do. We
Magical
do.
Talking Hat
go to Denver, buy a round trip ticket. Don't leave the airport.
No, just
wander around.
Right.
It's big. It could take you a few days to find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And if you think you've been everywhere and didn't see it, well, you probably haven't.
No, that's probably just Concourse B.
Yeah, you just need to go.
Seriously, have you been to Denver Airport?
I don't recall.
It is like three concourses and they're all like a goddamn mile long.
I don't recall.
It's nice, but if you have bad luck, like, you're going to be walking forever.
Yeah. I don't recall. I've been, Dallas. Let's see, where else?
Don't mumble. We're on a podcast.
A few places, but I don't remember if I've ever been to Denver or not. Okay. I mean, I have flown to California, but I think I went... No, I don't think I've been to Denver.
Depends on the airline. If you went United, you probably would have gone there.
Oh, well, maybe I did. I don't remember.
I've been to Paradise, but I've never been to me. I should watch that movie again.
What movie?
That's from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh. Well, that song is in that movie?
Yeah.
That song's been around a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a drag queen doing a lip sync of it.
Oh, okay.
Opening credits of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Okay.
It may have been in another movie before, but like Coal Miner's Daughter or some shit. In fact, because a drag queen was doing a lip sync of it, I think that almost guarantees it's been in another movie.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
So how has your week been?
Very uneventful.
I'm totally not going to read that book before you publish, so.
Well, that's all right.
All the things I find wrong will be set in stone.
That's okay.
Yeah, we've hardly managed to be reading. the producer and I have just been playing the shit out of Dungeon Siege 3.
Really?
Like, all the time. That's what we did today, most of the afternoon. Today was our work's holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool today. They not only did the holiday party, they did it earlier than usual. They did it like at lunchtime, and then it went till 3, and then they let us all go home with pay for the rest of the day.
That's nice.
So, yeah. But so we came home, and we just been playing Dungeon Siege 3.
We should try it out on the demo and see if we like it. Because, yeah. You know, we haven't played a cooperative game at home for, I mean, ages.
I cannot lend you this one because we got the 360 version.
That's fine. But
otherwise, I'd say we'd just lend it to you afterward. But I think we may lend it to Stu and his wife after.
Oh, okay.
And also, I think we may play it a second time because I'm curious about one of the other characters.
I see.
It's pretty good. It's really, the system is very simple.
Yeah, you said that last time.
Yeah.
But has it gotten more interesting to play? Or, I mean, why are you guys so interested in playing? Just because it's cooperative? And
We always love the cooperative dungeon crawls. Some of us, it's very much the usual thing where, like, my character has gotten new abilities better at.
And yes, so, right, right.
Like, at this point, I have an ability with my rifle that essentially is like a freaking machine gun with my rifle, and it's awesome. Just blow the crap out of everything on the screen. It's really cool. And I've gotten a good sense of how the sort of stats work and stuff, and mm-hmm. so I've got my character really, like, most of her shots are critical hits, and, mm-hmm. you know, her mm-hmm. critical hits do crazy amounts of damage, and mm-hmm. so it's fun.
What's the story like in the game? Is it interesting at all? Or?
It is. It's odd. They built, because I decided to go back and sort of look at the other Dungeon Siege stories,
mm-hmm.
and they really sort of built this one out of weird stuff. The whole series originally was sort of centered around this kingdom that became its own kingdom because a legion of this giant empire sort of settled there, mm-hmm. called the 10th Legion,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of defended the place, and they've been the sort of the protectors of the kingdom for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And adventures had happened with these people and whatever. And most of your main characters are associated with them in the other games. And what happens in this is about 30 years ago, the king did some really jerky stuff to the Legion, like taking away their lands and buildings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly was killed.
Mm.
And so this crazy zealot said, oh, the Legion totally did it, and basically convinced everybody to wipe out the Legion completely. Mm. And you and the characters are part of a very small number that have survived of the descendants of the Legion who still have some of the blood in you and stuff.
Mm.
And so you're sort of trying to prevent terribleness and theoretically rebuild the Legion, although I'm like, how's that even going to work? There's like 5 of us at this point. But yeah, so you're going around dealing with that.
Mm. But this is only the third installment, story-wise.
Yeah, I mean, there have been expansions at least one expansion to each of the beginning ones.
And this is the first version on a console, yeah.
I believe it is so.
And it was developed by Obsidian?
Which is new. And Square Enix, yeah, which is new for this one.
Yeah.
They didn't do that before.
That's right.
I
don't think Obsidian's going to have anything to do with the next Fallout game.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything on the next Fallout
game. From what I can tell, they're not counting New Vegas as a numbered.
So the next one will be 4.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. As a numbered episode. So the next game would be 4, and I believe that the engine that they created for Skyrim is in-house, which they were using an engine developed by someone else for, I believe, Oblivion, the previous Oblivion.
Yeah.
So
Skyrim
3.
Is a new engine.
Yeah, Skyrim is a brand new engine developed in-house. So I think they're going to use this new engine that Bethesda has developed for the next Fallout. I believe it's going to be called, you know, Fallout 4,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think Obsidian's going to have anything to do with it, which is too bad, because the people who are working for Obsidian are some of the same people that developed Fallout earlier,
yeah. And honestly, I have a love-hate relationship with Bethesda anyway. When Bethesda is involved in games, it can often be good. When Bethesda does games sort of all by themselves, it, I don't know, they get weird. We'll see.
New Vegas, I thought, turned out very well.
I heard good things about New Vegas. I enjoyed 3. I haven't played New Vegas yet. I haven't played so many things. Hopefully for Christmas I'm getting a lot of games.
3 and New Vegas, I thought, kept a lot of the good things from 3 and had a few new things. I don't know. I thought they did such a good job. I don't know why they wouldn't have them help them out on 4. I mean, even if it's a new engine and everything, but so what?
Money.
I suppose.
And is Obsidian having anything to do with the Star Wars MMO?
I don't
know. Or is that just solidly BioWare at this point? So I was going to say, if they're doing that, that's got to be keeping them busy.
Well, BioWare's...
Well, yeah, that's BioWare's baby.
They're involved with a lot of things, like they're not sure they're going to... They're not sure how the next Dragon Age is going to work because of the MMO stuff and whoever's dealing with that.
Well, if the MMO makes enough money, they won't give a damn.
I suppose. But a lot of people would like to see, even in BioWare, would like to see another Dragon Age game. But if they do develop another Dragon Age game, it'll be the last one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because
I mean, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the concept. I like not going on for 8 million years of sequels. A trilogy seems nice and normal.
About licensing and once the MMO, it's like 3 console games or whatever. And then the MMO kind of takes over, I guess. And
what, so they're going to do a Dragon Age MMO?
That's my understanding.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, maybe I'm remembering this wrong, and I don't remember what other company is going to be involved with that, by the way. There's some legal wrangling about it, I think, and maybe it won't happen at all. I don't know. But yeah, Fallout, now that Skyrim's been pretty successful, and it is...
A little bit.
Very,
I got friends I can't get to shut up about it.
It's a very attractive game, and the mechanics are very cool. It's a good game.
In the midst of playing our Traveler game, they won't shut up about Skyrim.
Yeah, so it's going to make a great engine for the next Fallout game, and our household's looking forward to it, but I don't think they've even started anything with it. But I'd like Obsidian to be involved, one, because I thought they did such a good job with New Vegas, but also because Obsidian is kind of, you know, a lot of those people were also involved with some of the other Black Isle projects. You know, like Snowblind did the engine for some of my favorite games from the PS2, but Black Isle was involved in some of those projects. So it's like, it's a game company that has a lot of people in it that I like, you know, and it'd be cool if they had a project that really took off and was successful. And, you know, the Dungeon Siege game wasn't that big a hit, so it'd be nice if they had something
big. You're the only person I know who stands behind video game production companies because they're some really nice guys.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the
person. I like those guys. I want them to be successful.
I don't know if they're nice, but I like some of the stuff they've done, and it seems like other people are doing similar things and they're being successful. I just think maybe these guys can get together and make something really great, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they got lucky with some of the earlier stuff, but it'd just be cool, I guess, to see that. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. But you know, a lot of legal wrangling going on, and a lot of games that aren't going to have any sequels that were going to, like Brutal Legend was going to have a sequel, and it won't now.
That's surprising because Brutal Legend was fairly successful.
I thought so, but it's not about how well the game did. It's about, you know, this company takes over this company and buys that company or whatever.
And it wasn't like it was, I mean, it didn't make them billions.
No.
It wasn't huge.
And games are really expensive to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, more as expensive as big budget movies are sometimes.
I was sad when the game Too Human did not get a sequel, but the reason I was sad is because it didn't deserve a sequel because that game sucked. But I feel like it could have been awesome, and it should have been awesome, and it was really horrible, and I'm sad.
Well, there was a game I thought was coming out this year that... No, I don't remember. The lead character's Drake...
Oh, Uncharted 3.
Yeah, Uncharted 3. I thought that was coming out in November.
It is or did.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Huh.
I've heard.
Is it not doing well?
Good, not as good as, or not even not as good as two. Reviewers often then expect things to go further, and it's sort of what I've been hearing is it's not different enough from two. It doesn't improve on two enough. So I think it's worth the buy, but it's not.
Huh.
Two just blew everybody's mind.
Well, yeah, and they really focused this time on having cooperative play online and stuff. So maybe they didn't even worry about, you know, if you're just playing it by yourself. But, yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it. I thought, well, maybe they pushed off the release date or something. But
no, I think it's out.
Huh, okay.
Trish, producer, was looking at it today. Well, she was looking at co-op games that we can play.
Hmm.
Lists for that are difficult to find, but... okay, we've killed almost a half hour.
Oh, that's too bad. Sorry.
With our video game analysis. So.
So that, does that mean we go to the hat now?
The hat? I love your pointing on an audio podcast. I do want to say, before we get to the hat here, we're not hurting for questions. We're not like, oh my God, we won't. I mean, we still have several episodes worth of questions, but there has been a peculiar sort of absence of people writing in the last few weeks. Very few, and just sort of tumbleweeds passing through on Gmail. That's really weird. So I would encourage you, if you haven't written in for a while or you've been thinking about, write into the hat. Write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Give us a question. Give us a topic. Maybe we'll pick yours. No, not yours. The other guy. Yeah, that one. Yes, yours. We might pick. So do that. Because remember, what you write down is what we talk about, sort of.
For at least half the show.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise, we're talking
about... I don't know. Somebody's bitching at me the other day. They're like, I'm listening to episode such and such. 40 minutes in, you have not drawn a question.
See? I'm telling you, this is what they listen for. Why do we talk so long at the beginning?
The same reason I don't let you get a word in edgewise, but you're the most popular thing on the show.
No, that's not true.
You do. Well, actually, the producer is the most popular thing on the show. But
dear magical hat that speaks only in whispers. Oh, this person knows something about that that we don't know.
The hat does not speak.
Maybe it does. Maybe it speaks only in whispers.
Wait, why are we believing this person? Other people have implied that the hat speaks.
Yeah, but this one's saying that it speaks only in whispers. In other words, saying the reason we don't think it talks is because we can't hear it.
I can hear whispers.
Maybe we can't hear the hat whispers. Maybe someone has to come like a hat whisperer.
The hat whisperer.
Yeah, to understand what that's saying.
Oh, God, I hate you.
What are Tony's thoughts about Dresden Files and the audiobooks? Well, like, because you never talk about
it. Yeah, it's funny you bring these up.
You never talk about
it. I've never mentioned this.
I mean, you listen to the audiobooks and everything, but you never talk about them at all.
People barely know that.
No, I don't.
Did somebody actually send that in?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, is there a name?
No, there's no name.
Okay.
Maybe this person only hears whispers.
Yes.
So maybe...
Wow.
Go ahead and tell
me. My feelings. No, I just sound like I have a laryngitis. If I actually whisper people, it will not get picked up by the mic. I hear people clapping from somewhere. I've enjoyed the audiobooks a great deal. It is more complicated to listen to them, for me at least, than to read the books. But I have greatly enjoyed it, and I recommend doing it that way. I did have some issues with the 13th book, Ghost Story, in that James Marsters was not narrating it, and it was weird, because not only was it not his voice, it was somebody doing it in a very different style, and that book has a lot of heavy emotional shit in it, and so it was very weird to be dealing with drama with characters that you've grown to love, and everybody sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit odd. I still enjoyed it. And I'm curious, my plan, I've been reading the producer, I have been reading her, the Felix Caster books by Mike Carey. Once we get through those, I plan to read her the Dresden Files books, and so then I'll be reading it from a book, and I'll be curious to see what it is there. But it's entirely possible they're not even as good as I think they are, and I just enjoy them being read so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that before, where an audiobook can be better or worse than just a book.
Mm-hmm.
because of the performance.
Right,
so.
Right.
But let's not spend a lot of time on this because, as those of you who have listened to more episodes than this one, no, I spend approximately 15 minutes of every episode talking about the Dresden Files books. All right.
Why do we talk for a half hour before we start drawing out of that?
Because we got shit to say.
Oh.
We are important.
I don't have anything to say.
We are important people forming the future of this country and this world as a whole, and our voices must be heard.
Okay.
Actually, I just like talking.
Okay.
So, here's the thing. You know what I like better than talking about things other people tell me to talk about?
No.
Talking about things I want to talk about.
You like that better?
I do.
Hmm.
Talking about me, especially. Talking about me, I enjoy. Hmm. So that's what we do. I don't seek out to do that at the beginning of each episode, but that's how it plays out. Also, you're the fucker who spent 18 minutes on various video game production companies today, so why don't you be talking to me?
I know.
All right. Hey, one from Stuart. Stuart has been very popular with the hat lately.
Yeah.
Dear Mr. Hat, we have in fact gone back to the male pronoun here.
Yeah.
Should America ditch the $1 note and embrace the $1 coin? Cheers, Stuart.
Huh.
My answer is an emphatic, emphatic yes. God damn it, yes. For you Americans who have not left the country, you might think, no, the $1 bill is away. No, dude, $1 bill sucks, and you don't know until you go hang out in a country for a while that has $1 coins. It is so much better. It's so much simpler. It is so much nicer. Do it.
Well, why is it nicer?
It's just more convenient to... We're at a point in terms of inflation and just, you know, the cost of things that a dollar or $2 is a very common price for just shit you're doing. You're tipping, you know, you're tipping a valet, you're buying a pop in the store, you know, you're okay, getting something out of a vending machine, and it is so much easier to reach into the change in your pocket and just take out a dollar or two than to have to open your billfold and sort through the bills.
I see.
For $1. And I know it's not hearing myself is not a very persuasive argument, but you just got to trust me. When you do it, it's so much nicer. And I was very happy with the Sacagawea dollars when those were attempted. I enjoyed those a great deal. But America dislikes change. They do.
That's a nice double entendre, though, don't you think? They dislike change. They dislike
change. Oh, I see what I did there. Oh. That was the funniest joke I may have ever said, and it was on accident. Oh, that was awesome.
Americans dislike change. Oh, that was great.
See, I'm even funny when I'm not trying. No, honestly, in my head, I was just thinking about the whole Obama got elected on a change platform, and yet I'm thinking... No, but I think in general, Americans, they love to complain about what's currently going on, but they are often rather loath to actually go through the process of making things different. Especially on stuff that they aren't worried, you know, is killing babies or sending our children down a moral sewer. And stuff like a dollar coin is one of those issues.
Yeah.
That was a hilarious joke. How did I not notice I said it? That was awesome.
Well, I laughed anyway. I thought that was pretty funny. Americans don't like change.
Oh, that was good. I feel good about that one. I feel bad, though. It wasn't on purpose. But it was so hilarious.
It was good.
So what are your feelings on the dollar bill coin? He says note because he's fucking Welsh. We call them bills in this country. So the dollar bill versus the dollar coin.
Well, I've always liked dollar coins, you know, when they have them. I think they're pretty cool. As long as they work in the vending machines that I'm usually wanting to stick them into. I mean, you know, we've had dollar coins of one form or another, you know, silver dollars.
For our lifetime, yeah.
The dollar coins that we used to have were quite large, you know, big round.
The
coins.
Eisenhower.
Yeah, stuff ones. Like that.
And then there was the Susan B. Anthony's.
Yeah.
Which were kind of annoying because they were silver and the size and shape of a quarter basically. Which, yeah. What the hell?
And then the Sacagawea ones, they were, what did they do to them different? They still weren't that, they were still
they were a little bit bigger and they were thicker and they were gold.
Well, and they had the edge wasn't,
oh yeah, the edge was different.
Was smooth.
Smooth instead, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones in the UK are actually smaller than many coins that are worth less, but they are very thick compared to the other coins. They're like, thick. So they are very distinctive if you're feeling around. And what's actually weird about the coins in the UK is they have a coin for 2 cents, and it's really fucking huge. I don't know why. The penny is about what you'd expect for penny. I don't think we have nickels. There's dimes and quarters, although they don't call them that. And they're about what you expect. And then there's the two pence, which is big. Like it's like quarter size. I don't know why.
Well, I always thought it was interesting that our nickels are bigger than our dimes, and I don't know.
Oh, the producer hates nickels. Seriously, the producer fucking hates nickels. Producer will kill a nickel and then kill its family. Like that's how much she hates. She hates nickels like a person.
Well,
yeah. A person that she also hates.
Like America should probably do a lot of things that make sense that they'll never do. So
sense, you did it too. Oh, the night of 1,000 money puns. Accidental money puns.
It's pretty easy to do, really. Anyhow. Yeah, that's that.
So we're both kind of in favor of...
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go, you know, join a protest about it or anything.
You never have a strong opinion on any topics we ever have.
Well, that's not true.
Take a stance, damn it.
Well, I take a stance on a lot of things.
Do it.
Well, weren't you getting upset dollar with me bills, the other day coin? When I was talking about liberate Main Street and all this stuff?
Yes, yes. No, I wasn't getting upset with you. I was mocking you. Oh. The stance I have taken is whatever you do, it's wrong.
Oh, right, right.
And I commit to that stance. You could say the same damn thing I just said, and it's still wrong
okay.
to me.
All right, right. I get it.
I will work at that.
Okay.
See, you got to show that kind of commitment.
Well, I commit to things that seem important to commit to. And I guess
that is boring radio, my friend.
There's a lot of, well, yeah, it probably is. You're probably right about that, which is why that's a lot of broadcast, you know, voice shows have people complaining about things and taking definite stands and. Sometimes being quite irrational about it, really.
I am still working up. I'm going to take some sort of minority demographic and hate the crap out of them on this show. And not just the Welsh, because that's cheating. Everybody hates the Welsh. I'm going to find somebody like to really...
How about old-time Methodists? That's not very many people. And I'm included in that group, so you could attack me, too.
I don't know. That group, there's not a lot, but I feel like that is a group that if word got out, they'd find a way to get. I don't know why, but no. I feel
what
like...
What would they do?
Well, hire people, potentially. I mean, most of them are old. But
old-time Methodists are, you know, they're peace-loving people. They would probably just laugh at it.
I feel like I would get my comeuppance from old-time Methodists.
I don't know who would do that.
The Amish don't scare me.
Well, the old-time Methodists aren't that much different.
How old are these old-time Methodists?
Pretty old.
Okay. Maybe we're just talking about different eras.
I mean,
I think it's because my mother is a Methodist. My mother-in-law is a Methodist, and she's old.
Okay.
And you think she exists in time.
So you think that...
Well, I don't know. I'm just like, that's what I'm saying. She would come after me. She's got cancer, and she would come after me.
Yeah, I don't think my dad is an old time Methodist, and he comes after a lot of people, but I don't think he'd come after you about that.
Still, see, you're disproving your own. I don't.
Well,
I don't like that.
It depends on, you know, he's a Republican, so, you know, he'd probably come after you for attacking him for being Republican, but I don't know if he'd come after you for him being a Methodist, because that seems
weird.
Well, that would be like contradictory. Like, well, oh, you know, he's coming after me because I'm a Methodist, but it wouldn't be a very Methodist thing for me to do to come back after him. But if he comes after me because I'm a Republican, well, it seems perfectly a Republican thing to do to shoot back. See,
I think your explanation simultaneously served as you coming at him for being a Republican.
No, I don't have a problem.
Now your dad's going to get you.
I don't have a problem with my dad being a Republican. I don't have a problem with Republicans or Democrats. I'm not either one, and I think that that both parties have a lot of problems, and both platforms have a lot of problems. But, you know, if someone wants to be a Republican or Democrat, that's their business.
William is a Williamtonian.
Although what I am saying...
No, wait, that sounds like it's me. I'm involved, too. I don't like that.
One thing I am saying is that I think some of his Methodist...
Vengeance is part of the Republican platform.
I'm saying some of his Methodist beliefs might not actually fit very well with some of his Republican beliefs. I think that's true.
You're saying there's a madness to his Methodism.
Yeah, sort of.
Ah!
But... yeah, I guess I am sort of
so
saying
good.
That. But that's
kind of flopped.
That's the kind of conversation that Dad and I have often.
With bad puns about Methodism?
No, with a stance he takes that seems to
seems
be based
counter
on,
to his faith.
Yeah. But it seems to be not counter to his political views.
Ah.
But that's not...
I think that's hard to avoid nowadays, though.
Yeah, that's not unique to Republicans either.
Either of the two main parties, especially, because they have worked so hard to encompass as much as they can so they can get support from so many people, that it is almost impossible for a single person to embrace all of the policies of one party's platform.
Yeah,
if it's those either of those two, because the platform is so huge at this point, you get really close to one platform holding actually contradictory
principles. That's right. You're exactly right about that. So
which is why I voted for Kodos.
Well, every vote counts, you know. Don't let anyone tell you that you should vote for the person who's going to win or some ridiculous thing like that.
What if they promised me a cabinet position?
Well, I don't vote for whatever reason you want. It's your conscience. But what I'm saying is every vote counts.
My conscience? When the hell does that get involved?
Or lack thereof. Look, what I'm saying is there are some people that say you have to vote for one of the parties because clearly one of the parties is going to win. So what a waste to vote
Go
for someone.
Go ahead. Throw your vote away.
Throw your vote away if you don't vote for one of the parties. Well, that's the dumbest thing ever that anyone could possibly say. Every vote counts.
I think people could say dumber things than that.
Well,
I feel like
that's just a ridiculous thing to say.
But I think there are dumber things.
Probably. But right now, I can't think of any. Just that.
I can't think of any that aren't overly scatological at the moment.
Yeah,
so
let's pass on that.
Pass. Ah.
Yes, what is wrong with you? Come
you're
on.
You're a genius.
Let's move on.
It's my turn, right?
No. No, you drew the...
How many questions?
Two. There's only been two.
No.
Yes.
What were they?
A Dresden Files one and the $1 coin one. That's it.
Wait, we got scatological on the $1 coin one?
Well, we started talking about other things. You said you wanted
to
attack a group, and I suggested... My group, because, it's, you know, I'm here, and that would be handy.
Yeah, old-time Methodist is not your group.
Well, kind of is.
Yeah, a lot of them kind of are. William, you are... No, you're you.
Okay.
I already attacked you. You're a group of one. Separate issue.
Why do you... You don't... You know, just because you don't know other people...
I know other people!
Like me, I mean. There are plenty of people out there who... Well...
No, never mind.
Why don't you just let me draw something else out of that?
I will give you $1,000 if you can introduce me to somebody like you.
Well, I'll work on it.
Yeah, you will. Oh, craft dinner, where did you go? What? Oh, no. It's not hurt. I unplugged the computer, but the craft dinner is not hurt. Here, take the hat. I got technical issues.
You're handing me the hat?
Do you feel the tingling in your fingertips?
I do. Wow.
That's because
is this what it's like for you all the time? Maybe I don't want to give it back. Oh, here. I better give it back.
It gets worse when it gets as far down as your testicles.
Is there such a thing as too many dice? Sir Guido wants to
Sir Guido, it happens to be a young man who makes dice bags for sale. Awesome dice bags for sale. So I don't believe he thinks there is such a thing as too many dice.
Because
the more you get, the more bags you will need from him.
And the more you'll need a bag.
And I would love to put links. He has YouTube videos showing the awesomeness of his dice bags. And I would love to put them up in the notes. But I have no idea where they are. So, Sir Guido, you're going to have to go to the blog yourself. That blog again. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. And put links to your videos showing your awesome, awesome dice bags that people can buy. Because they are really cool. I don't even remember all the things. They have like little extra pockets and they're all sorts of colors and I think they transform into robots and shit. Like, they are awesome. I don't have them because I'm cheap and lazy, but if I wasn't either of those things.
Are you a fan of like having lots of dice? Or
I am. I don't anymore. I've lost my dice over the years. You need lots of but if you're a gamer, you need lots of dice.
Why?
Because different games require different dice. And sometimes dice fall off the table and they fall under the couch and it's really annoying to have to lift the entire damn couch which has three other gamers sitting on it. Instead, you just pull out another die.
I see.
But different games require different dice. Some games require D20s. Some are strictly lots and lots of D10s. Some are 3D6 and nothing else. Some are 2D6 and nothing else. Some are one of just about every size and shape. Like, you need a D4 and a D6 and a D8 and a D10 and a D12 and a D20. Some are...
And sometimes everybody needs to have those available to them.
A billion D6s. Like, where you get dice pools of D6s or D10s where you might need, like, 15, 20 if you're playing heroes, superheroes. If you're playing a hero system with supers, you might need 50... D6s. So it's useful.
I don't understand. Why? Like, I don't get it. Why? How does it work that you need, like, several six sided dice?
Because sometimes certain systems use dice pools where you have X number of dice.
Uh-huh.
And it can either be you have X number of dice and you roll them all and add them up.
Uh-huh.
Or it can be you have X number of dice and you roll them. And every die that's above a 4 is a success, and you count up how many successes got. And if you're playing a hero system, and you're playing certain types of superheroes, sometimes certain actions can involve lots of dice, because you're doing ridiculous nuclear explosion levels of damage with your fist.
Oh. You just couldn't use a one bigger dice?
The mathematics would be totally different.
I see.
And some systems do that, too. If you're super awesome, instead of more dice, you just use the next size up kind of thing. So it varies. Every system, everybody has to make their own special system to show how they're unique. Because if the system's not unique, then the only difference is fluff. And we can all fucking make up fluff. Like, make up a story.
Huh.
You see?
I thought it was all about the story.
No, I mean, it is in some cases. A lot of people can sell based on that. But if you're trying to sell a system, because once people get the gist of the story...
But why...
They might want not need it
why
anymore.
Why would someone want to learn how to master a whole different system of playing?
Because you've convinced them that it's much more realistic, or it's much more fun, or it's much simpler, or it's much more... It allows you to be more creative in a certain way. You can do cooler things that you couldn't do with other systems. More realistic is a very common one. Easier while still being fairly realistic is the other big common one.
So why aren't people just using apps on their mobile devices?
Oh, they do. They do.
So why did you need dice anymore?
Because it's not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same. It's like saying, now that there are Kindles, why do you need books anymore?
Is it really like that?
It is really like that.
Because I would think if you were a gamer, the whole dice and adding things up, the system in a way would get in the way. And if you had some way to do the same thing without taking as much time or calculating things out, if you had a little app that could do it all for you so the game kept moving and the system didn't get in your way of playing the game, I would think that would be...
And that is an argument that certain types of gamers make, for if that's what they get out of the game. First of all, you got to remember, not everybody games for the same reason. And second of all, you're talking about tradition here. If I've been doing that, if I've been rolling dice since I was six, literally since I was six, and I associate gaming with certain positive feelings and stuff, I get a real charge out of having weirdly shaped dice in my hand and rolling them.
I guess.
And some people don't trust the technology because, honestly, random number generation is a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be fair, verifying the randomness on your own dice is pretty impossible. There's lots of reasons. It's the same reasons people like old-timey, all sorts of things, as opposed to newfangled methods.
Yeah, but
I think the Kindle book explanation is a really good one.
I don't see how that is, though, because the Kindle book, I mean, that's about... I mean, that seems a lot more complicated. It seems to me that...
Why is that more complicated?
Because the book... And turning the pages, that doesn't really get in the way of you enjoying the book. In fact, with the Kindle or anything else, you're going to have to turn pages in a manner of speaking. But the, rolling the dice actually pulls you out of the experience of playing the game, I would
think.
For
some people, yes. For some people, no. Again, not everybody is seeking the same experience in gaming.
You mean some people game so they can, because they want to just roll dice all night?
Yeah, for some people, it's like playing any other game. It's all about the numbers, and they're like, oh, cool, I want to see how much damage I can do. And there's a whole drama associated with the dice rolls. Sometimes, yes, in the game, we're in a big sword fight, and somebody's about to try something that will either win it for them or kill them. And sometimes you can get into that, but sometimes, if you've been gaming for many years, you translate that drama into, this die 20 has to get above a 16. And the whole thing depends on that.
Hmm. I suppose.
It's a whole... You don't understand my culture, man.
No, I don't.
It's my whole culture. But no, for a lot of people, there is... Most people who still like books is an aesthetic thing, I believe.
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'd rather use a book because... I mean, I'll get a headache using one of the other things because of the light and everything. I mean, I'd just rather...
Okay, assuming that wasn't the case, assuming you didn't have trouble reading it and prolonged exposure to reading it was no worse than prolonged exposure to reading a book.
Well, then I probably wouldn't prefer books, actually, in that case.
But can you? But would you be shocked to find that other people did? Well, would you be confused? Would you be like, why would you ever want a book again?
No, I mean, I have, you know, I suppose I have some interest in books as books, and I can understand someone else. But, I mean, for me, if I could use one of those devices without getting a headache or whatever, I would love the fact that I had all these books on this one device, and or I could pull a book into it if I wanted to and carry it with me. That would be amazing.
A lot of people,
but I would still want there to be a library with the actual book in it somewhere, just because
in case of the EMP.
Well, I don't know. It would seem wrong for there not to be, I guess.
But that's a lot of people feel that way about dice, and a lot of people use dice roller apps, and there are some great ones out there that can simplify the heck out of things. I used a Shadowrun one for a little while. That you just tell it how many dice, and it would roll them, and it would do all the calculating for you, and it would just say, here's how marginal the success or the failure was. And it was pretty nice. It still felt weird. I was used to rolling the dice to see what happened, and it felt weird to go click. And I still use them sometimes when it's more convenient for me, when there's not a good place to roll dice, that kind of stuff.
I suppose that I can...
In my Traveler game, somebody was using one just the other night.
I suppose I can imagine also that some people, maybe it's not about the stats, but they like to talk a lot about what they're going to do or think about it a long time. And
oh, yes.
And the dice roll kind of goes along with that, let's take our time with this kind of thing. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? I guess I can see that part.
The dice are a cultural artifact as well as a mechanical artifact.
Right, but what I'm saying is I can imagine for some people the game would go too fast if it was automated that way.
You
don't want it to be a big rush. You kind of want to tell the story.
And among some gaming groups out there, there are issues of trust with dice figures, and it's easier if you're rolling dice in front of them for them to trust that you're not cheating.
Yeah.
That is the one I have a hard time with, because I can't imagine ever gaming with people who I wouldn't trust their dice rolls. But sometimes when you're desperate to game and those are the only people around, you got to do it.
Yeah.
What the hell was we talking about? Oh, can you have too many dice? Yes, you can. Like all hobbies, you can have too much. When it messes up the general flow of your home... That's a problem. When you have so many dice that you can't get into that one room because of the dice.
When you're skipping meals because you want to spend the money on dice.
Yes, yes. When it becomes not unlike heroin, then it's a problem. But do I know people who have achieved that level? No. So keep buying dice. And so, Guido, keep buying dice and keep making dice bags and get on the blog and tell everybody where to find out about your awesome dice bags.
Excuse me. We're probably out of time now.
We pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think we should stop because we have to record another one right afterward.
Yep. Well, thanks, Sir Guido and Stuart and Anonymous, for your submission.
Especially Anonymous, because I don't know you, so I can't despise you like I despise other people. For all I know, you could be that one good person out there.
I hope that you have been listening and already know what Tony's thoughts are about the Dresden Files and the audiobooks, because he has talked about it a lot. I
covered the basics here.
Yeah.
I have had complaints about how much I talk about them. But that's okay, it's from assholes.
How ironic.
It's not that ironic, because I did expect to get complaints. So.
No, that someone would ask about it.
Oh, that is ironic that somebody would be interested in what I have to say. any more money puns before we go?
No.
Penny for your thoughts?
No. You have a lot of pennies. A lot of people don't know, of course, that you have a lot of pennies sitting right here on the table.
Not just pennies. This is a really, really dirty quarter.
Oh.
These are some dimes.
I didn't see those.
Are you there, people?
Are we back?
We are back. Oh, sweet fucking mother of... Oh.
When did it stop? Do we know? Were we just talking about the pennies? And
yeah, stopped? Yeah, we were just talking about the pennies, because I was messing with them and it pulled out the thing.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Oh. Okay, here's what you missed, people.
Well, nothing but panic, really.
A lot of that. While we were talking about the chains that scattered around here that the producer and I have been using as poker chips when we play cards, I accidentally hit the cord on the snowball microphone. And it unplugged, which we weren't aware of at the time. All we knew was that the computer made a noise and stopped recording. Figured out that's what it was, plugged it back in, hit record again, and it started for like a second, which I don't think you guys get now. And then the whole thing was hung up. And in Windows 7, when it hangs up, it has this little thing trying to decide, and that takes forever, and it never does anything. But if you close out of that, it closes the whole damn thing. And I wasn't sure, and I did it, and it closed the whole damn thing. And then I pooped myself.
And it was episode 12 all over again.
Oh, my God. And we have to do another episode tonight, so seriously, poop. Oh, my God. But... This version of Audible, this new beta version on Windows 7 OS, when I brought it back up, it had the thing and it said, "Do you want to try and recover?" And I said, "Yes." And it did.
So we're very happy about that.
So happy. We're so happy. We're so happy. Just as long as we stay happy, we'll stay happy. You know what that's from?
No.
Our listeners can get bonus points if they know what that's from.
All right.
I paraphrased a little, but still. And also I sang it like shit, but... And this is on a separate track, but I know what to do about that this time, so... Anyway, where we were was saying that we were finishing So we have to record the Christmas episode after this because next Thursday, the producer and I will currently be driving to the family. And so we won't be able to record then. So we're going to record it tonight, and we're going to pretend like it's next week. You guys know the drill.
That We've might, done this that might actually be the solstice that day. It's the 22nd, isn't it? Or maybe, I don't know.
19, 20, 21. Yeah, it should be the night of the 22nd.
But I don't know if the solstice is on the
22nd. Why do you not come to this knowing
I don't know, because,
the phases well, because of the sun
I probably
at the
would have checked and then forgotten anyway. So
you probably did check.
I probably did check and forgot
anyway. And then gave up. Anyway, we really should go, people. We have a whole nother thing. What are you still doing here?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Email the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. We love you all. It's been a great 40 weeks, and it's going to be a great 40,000 more. I kind of painted myself into a corner.
Yeah, you did.
40 was too low, so you I went did. For 40,000. Anyway, yeah. Long time. We're not giving up. We have no plans to stop anytime in the near future.
No.
And so we hope you keep listening.
Yep.
We love you guys.
Yeah, we do.
And we'll see you next week.
Next week.
Oh, sons of bitches.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.